brother Cantor Michael.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Praise Him. It's all about Messiah.
Amen.
It's all about the blood that He shed at Calvary.
Yeah.
And I just have a very simple message tonight, actually a testimony. Some of you have heard this before, but I shared it yesterday briefly with Zach before his baptism. And I'd like to share it again tonight because, and it's interesting because there were a couple of questions that were asked me yesterday. And, you know, in Revelation chapter 12, it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I mean, that's what it's about for us. Those are the three things that we, in a sense, are to live.
Yes.
Live under the covering of the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
The word of our testimony.
Yes.
And not loving our lives unto the death.
Yes.
And I just want to share testimony today. And what a testimony is, think about it in court, you're a witness to something. Mm-hmm. You're a witness to the resurrection. You're a witness to the love of God in your life. And God works uniquely in each of our lives.
Yes.
He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is always good. His
yes.
loving kindness is always forever.
Yes.
And He is utterly faithful.
Yes.
And that is a major part of what I want to share tonight, the word of testimony. Because it is all about Him. See, one of the things that happened in the garden, I can't get away from Genesis, is that the serpent actually managed to convince Adam and Eve especially there, but ultimately Adam giving in, that it was all of a sudden about them. See, it's about, the battle is, it really isn't about us. It's about the one who created us. We wouldn't be here without Him. Conversation, I think Deb and I were talking about yesterday, even about Lucifer's fall. That this created being elevated himself above God. And that's basically illogical. It's basically mental insanity for any of us, for any being, to exalt ourselves above the Creator. But that's the whole nature of the fall. Is we focus on ourselves and we think that we are something. And when we think that we are something, then the one who is everything kind of gets pushed aside. And we do that, I think, often, obviously, before we come to faith. But it doesn't necessarily stop once we become faith. It comes to faith. Something just takes different forms in some ways until the sanctification process, and God works in our lives and He changes things in us from the inside out.
Yes.
And so, in 1999, my first wife, Sandy, passed away rather suddenly, and I was left to raise my two children, Ruthie and Caleb, who were 8 and 5 at the time, to take care of them on my own. And I was pastoring a small congregation in Oshkosh, Wisconsin at the time. And I was also struggling with some non-life-threatening but just uncomfortable medical stuff that was kind of continual and regular. So I didn't feel good most of the time. And so I'm pastoring a small congregation. I'm Mr. Momming with my kids, and I'm not feeling good most of the time. Somewhere about a year after Sandy had passed away, I don't know the exact date. Maybe if I dug a journal out, I might find something. But I was having a particularly tough day. Kind of went through the day, did what I needed to do, but all day long, I'm just struggling along. My attitude probably wasn't great through the day, just kind of, You know, you have those days. I think people have them where you just kind of grit your teeth and you make it through the day. And so I got my kids to bed, and I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I'm just worn. And I was finished. And I told the Lord that I was finished. I was done trying to be a believer, trying to be a Christian, trying to be a pastor. And I have to tell you, I didn't say it in such nice words. And as far as I can say with integrity, I meant it. You know, I wasn't thinking, oh, I'm going to feel different tomorrow, or I'm going to repent tomorrow, or I'll feel different tomorrow. It was the attitude of my soul. And I fell asleep in that attitude. The next morning, before I was fully awake, you know how when you wake up in the morning, sometimes you're kind of halfway in, halfway out. You're partially awake, but you're not really fully awake. I was singing. Now, Deb will tell you, I don't go around the house singing too often. I'll sometimes wear headphones and follow the music, but I'm not one to be singing that much. But I'm waking up and I'm singing. And I'm singing a song over and over again as I'm waking up. And I'm singing the song, "Jesus Loves Me. This I Know, for the Bible Tells Me So." And I'm singing that over and over again. And now I'm starting to wake up. You know, I'm starting to realize I'm doing this. And then I remembered the attitude in which I had gone to bed. And I was stunned. I don't know what other word to use. I was stunned. Because as far as I can remember, I meant what I said. And I hadn't, through the night, to my mind understanding, had repented or said, "I'm sorry, Lord." But something in me was singing that wasn't the same thought process or mind or soul attitude in which I had gone to bed. And as I'm starting to wake up, the only explanation that I had was that Jesus himself had said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Now, there's no clause in that verse that says, if you don't give up, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Or in Philippians, he says, "He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus the Messiah." Doesn't say in Philippians chapter 1, if you don't give up or you don't throw in the towel, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus the Messiah. See, that verse in Philippians says, he who has begun a good work. See, he starts it. See, we sometimes think, and I don't want to negate this, but we talk about often the day that we first give our lives to Jesus. And hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now the Calvinistic reform type inside of me goes here. There's something here in terms of God knew before you said that prayer that you were going to do it. But he was already working in your life. You know, there's a process in which we come to believe in Jesus. He begins that work. And if we are saved, then we are saved. Amen.
That's what saves.
So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 13, it says, I'm going to read three verses. I'm going to start with verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself.
Amen.
This has kind of rallied in my heart that day, in the sense that he was going to be faithful whether I was or not. And I'm I've shared this testimony numerous times, but I almost cannot express the sense that I had that day and the shift. See, even once I was awake, I didn't fall down on my flat face and repent. Because my soul was still like, I don't like what's going on in my life. But he's not leaving. I don't even know that I was happy that he wasn't leaving. The sense I had was, I'm stuck with him. It's funny, one of our kids, Matt and Nikki, and they've been married about 8 years, and they've had their ups and downs. But one day Nikki was talking to Deb, and she said in reference, and Matt could be kind of difficult. She said to Deb, "I've decided I'm just going to keep him." And that's how I felt that day, that God was keeping me. And, you know, it really changed something. That sounds very small. It radically changed me. Because, see, prior to that, as a minister, as a pastor, if I visited somebody, if I ministered to somebody, I felt like I almost needed to give them a prescription. You know, you're struggling. Make sure you read some scripture. Make sure you pray. You know, make sure you do something. You know, you're doing something doesn't make him love you more. You doing not something doesn't make him love you less. The reality is, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's going on, his love for you never changes. It's not dependent upon how we are doing. It's dependent upon his faithfulness. And that he is going to stay faithful regardless. What a liberation. What a liberation. See, then, yes, it's radical. And so, this is the reality of, that's why it's good news.
Yeah.
See, I think sometimes our old man, our old thinking, kind of dilutes the good news. Mm-hmm. It is great news.
Yes.
He had, what did he say? We heard it today in the video. It is finished. Oh no, one of the Jesus' words on the cross was, it is finished. You know, whatever God does is complete and forever.
Amen.
It is finished.
Mm-hmm.
And we can live in that freedom. I mean, often the enemy accuses us. You know, we struggle, we make mistakes, etc. And sometimes the accuser wants to get in there and say, see, you're really not a believer. You see, you have this problem. You know, Jesus said, if your adversary is taking you to court, agree with him quickly. Yeah, you're right. But Jesus died for that on the cross.
Amen.
That's how you discombobulate the enemy. Because it's been paid for at the cross.
Yes.
Even if it's true, Jesus died for it at the cross. See, what makes it stick is when we don't take it to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we take it in some way.
Mm-hmm.
the importance of the fullness of the atonement of the blood of Jesus. We have nothing but that blood, and we need nothing but the blood. So I'd like to pray for all of us that as we move through this Day of Atonement and in this new year and this new season, that we will walk in this freedom, in this liberty of total forgiveness because of the blood of Jesus, that it is finished. And we can live in that freedom. Where we're not convinced, Holy Spirit, convince us. Where we stumble, show us. But may we be the freest people that walk on the face of the earth. Because we, our sins have been forgiven and we are set free. And we are free to love.
Yes, 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 yes.
You know, I'm going to interrupt my this. Well, it's okay. Jesus knows. Okay. You are free to love.
Yes, amen.
Now, sometimes we feel like we're obligated to love. In a sense, you're under law. You are free to love.
Yes.
That can be exciting. You are free to love. See, Jesus freely loved us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we understand this, and I don't know if I understand this, but I will say this, and then I'll get back to my prayer. Okay. You know, when Jesus was in Gethsemane, and he prayed, as we interpret it, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But not my will, but your will be done. I heard an interpretation of that many years ago that has never left me. Jesus and the Father were one. For the joy that was set before him, it was Jesus' desire to give his life for us. Not his will, though, but God's will be done. In other words, he was submitting even his desire to give his life for us. Not just because, in other words, he freely wanted to give his life. But not just his will, the Father's will. He said it, no man took his life. He laid it down.
Yes.
So help us, Holy Spirit, to be ones that love freely, that are free to love. Not obligated, not enslaved to love, but free to love as you have loved us.
Mm-hmm.
Teach us thy ways, O Lord, and lead us in plain paths. In Jesus' name, B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to have you stand, and we'll dismiss with the Aaronic benediction. Yivarechacha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Yadonai panav elecha v'ichunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yasam lecha shalom. The ever-existing one bless you and keep you. The ever-existing one make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The ever-existing one lift up his countenance upon you and put there his peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
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 Feel free to visit, but there will be no refreshments tonight.
No for you. No for you. No for you.
through tomorrow.